all is yours.
Okay. Well, first of all, let me thank you for having me on the call. It's always such a pleasure to be able to work with the associates. And, you know, I'm not really big on the call so much because I love to have the interaction with them. So I am wondering, Lydia, is it possible to unmute and see if they could actually be quiet and participate with me? Is that doable or is it get too loud?
No, yeah, we could definitely do that. What I'm going to ask everybody to do is if you know there's background noise, I'm going to mute all the lines, but if you know there's background noise, please hit *6 to mute your line.
That would be great.
And I can control a little bit of that on my side too. So here we go.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Okay, so this morning, having spoken with Lydia, Mary just asked us about what it is that we can make the greatest difference for you. It's about helping people stay really focused on what it is you have to do. You have worked together as a team, strategically come out with your plan to A, meet the incentives, and B, to start to really book these the youth parties and really make hay with a fabulous product that we've got. So I think as far as the planning, you've got it in place. It's the execution where many people get caught. And part of the reason is it has nothing really to do with ability, but it has a lot to do with focus. And a lot of the focus has to do with commitment to what it is they said they were going to do. So, first of all, some of you on Flight Team have heard me say this, and so I'm going to repeat it, though, because I believe you can never hear this enough. Many of us have what we think we want to create in our lives. We have lists of things that we want. We want financial independence. We want to have a successful business. We want to feed, you know, be responsible for 100 kids, 1,000 kids, whatever that may be for you, you know, really making a difference in their life. We want to be able to set up a legacy for our family. We want to touch other people. It goes on and on and on. But the reality is it doesn't really matter what you want. A want is about as powerful as a wish and a hope and a prayer. What really matters is what are you committed to? Commitment is something that you're willing to do and pay the price for. Paying the price, and, you know, Zig Ziglar has a great definition of commitment. It's doing the thing that you said you were going to do long after you, the feeling you had when you said it is gone. So I love that example because, let's face it, when you're like in, for those of you that made it to Hawaii, or those of you that were in Frisco, or those of you that were, you know, at Manifest, or to one of the ManaQuest from last year, when you're at an event, it's so easy to get so excited and recharged and refocused and going, you know, that's going to be me next year. I'm going to do X, whatever X may be for you. And so as we go through all of this, we realize that when we're in the middle of it and we have the energy of those people around us, this is a slam dunk. And we really, really believe in our hearts that's what we're going to do. And then we all know what happens after we leave one of those events. Talk to me. What happens for many of you when you leave those events?
Life and reality kick in.
I love that. Life and reality kick in. Those two combined are a double dynamic duo, aren't they? And when life and reality kick in, we have distractions. And those distractions, you know, and they're valid. They're our kids, they're our spouses, they're our jobs, they're our responsibilities, they're our health, they're all those things. And so we justify or rationalize why it's okay, even though we don't like it. Somehow we give ourselves permission to not do the thing that we said we were going to do. And when we don't do the thing that we said we were going to do, we don't create the thing that we said that really mattered to us. But the reality was it was something we wanted. Based on results, it's clear it's what we wanted and we weren't committed to it. Because in spite of life and reality, there are people out there that are making this thing work. So how do we go into the fold of being one of those people that can deal with life and reality at the same time as creating the goals and dreams that we say we want. How many of you would be in to play that game?
Definitely.
Hey, Lydia, do they talk more to you, or they just don't want to talk to me?
Oh, Donna, definitely.
Quiet group on the line. Awesome. So I'm excited. Anyway, so how do we get that? Well, what I'm going to ask you to do is take out a piece of paper for a minute. So I'll give you a second. Just take out a piece of paper. It can be a post-it note for all it matters. And I want you to start writing down the things in your life that you really hold dear to you, things that are really of importance to you. So just start calling them out one at a time. Tell me the things that really matter to you. What are they?
Family.
Family.
Faith.
Faith.
Health.
Health.
Finances.
Yep. Money. Security. Yep.
Fun.
Mind.
Fun.
Mm-hmm.
Health.
Relationship. We've got health.
Adventure.
Sorry, say that one again.
Yeah, I said adventure.
Oh, adventure. Okay, well, that's sort of in the fun world for me.
Could be travel.
Helping others.
Helping others. All right, so being of service and contribution. So what really matters for you in your relationships, for example?
Love.
Love. Absolutely. What else?
Trust.
Trust. So there's a bunch that go with that. What goes with trust?
Integrity.
Integrity. Honesty. Anything else?
Follow through.
Follow through, so keeping your word?
Yes.
That, for me, is part of integrity, but you bet. Okay. So we've got a bit of a list there. And there are probably more. But I just want to start working through this group. These are the things that we say we hold really dear to ourselves. Now, just leave that list in front of you for a moment. And I want someone to tell me about a time in their life when someone else broke what you thought was a big agreement with you. Give me an example. It could be a business deal. It could have been in a relationship. Tell me about a time in your life when someone broke what you thought was a big agreement with you. I'm not going to do the work here, guys. Come on. Who's in?
And my husband left the marriage.
Great example. The husband left the marriage. And so the commitment was, or the agreement was what?
Married for life.
Commitment.
Right. The best of you part. Awesome. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So a broken marriage. Somebody else give me an example. Come on, guys. How many times have people borrowed money and never paid it back, or promised they would do something and never showed up for you, and it was a big disappointment? And times in your life when people let you down because they broke agreements. Give me an example.
Financial advisor.
Say that again. I'm sorry.
Financial advisor.
Oh, a financial advisor. So what was the agreement?
And lost some money.
They lost some money. But the agreement was that that whatever it was they told you was
the
investment. Is that a fair one?
Invested were trustworthy and they were not.
Perfect. Okay, great. So now you have two very different ones, right? One that is about money that is either stolen or not paid back or whatever it may be, and the second that is a broken marriage vow. In either of those instances, I want you to take your list out in front of you that we made and tell me what was lost when that agreement was broken. What got lost?
Commitment in the marriage.
Commitment, right. So commitment was sort of like part of integrity?
And trust.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so trust was lost. Take that out.
Love.
Honesty was lost. Strike that off. Love was lost. Strike that off. Integrity was lost.
Relationship.
Relationship was lost. Take that off.
Family.
Family was lost.
Dreams for the future.
Faith.
Yeah, dream. So future. Okay, we have.
Certainly no fun.
Come on here. How was that? How was your faith? Was it tested?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Take that off. How was your health through all of that? What's anxiety do in stress to our health?
Very bad.
And finances?
Yeah, very bad. It really compromises it. Take that off. What about we have money on that. How did we do in the money game when you have broken agreements like the examples we've given? Yeah, and that's it. Take that off. How much fun was that or adventurous?
No fun at all.
Yeah, take that off. So really what we just saw is that with a broken agreement, everything that we said was of value to us just got put on the chopping block.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't see it that way, do we? We just go, oh, it's just an agreement. It's just one thing. So let's just put that aside for a minute. How many of you have agreements that you handled differently with yourself versus others? Do you handle them the same way or do you handle them differently?
The same way.
Differently.
Do you handle them the same or differently?
Same.
You handle them the same. Great. Does anybody else on the line, do you all handle your agreements the same towards yourself versus others?
Mine
no.
are different sometimes.
Pardon?
Mine are different sometimes.
How have you ever noticed this? When there's something you don't really want to do, even though you know it's good for you, like maybe working out at 6 or 7 in the morning. If you're going to make an agreement to meet a friend there at 6, or the agreement is just with yourself, I'm just curious, are you going to make it the same for both, or are you more likely to make it if you've committed just to yourself or committed to someone else?
To someone
How
else.
How do most functions? Somebody else. You know, if it's really cold like it is right now up north here, we've been bombarded with snow. In the morning you wake up and your nose sticks together if you poke it out from under your covers. How many of you get excited about jumping out of bed? Not
I
many.
Do.
But if I have somebody waiting outside or waiting at the gym, do you think I'm going to just roll over and ignore it, or am I going to get my butt out of bed, cold as I may be, and somehow make it over there? But if not, I might go, oh, I'll go later in the day. Or I worked out really hard yesterday. Maybe today will be my skip day or whatever it may be.
Mm-hmm.
Many of us function as though we keep agreements with other people as more important than agreements we keep to ourselves. So when we do that, what if we just told ourselves?
We don't matter. We don't
yes.
have any
I mean,
respect.
We don't matter.
We have no respect
don't
for ourselves.
Yes. So it's either that we don't matter or other people matter more than we do. And what's interesting is when we start to function that way, it starts showing up in every other area of our life. It's like, you know, many of us have a differentiating belief that there's something called big agreements and small agreements. How many of you on the, let me ask you this. For somebody who's on the phone that has that belief, give me an example of what a big agreement would look like for you. Someone on the phone, what do you think a big agreement would look like?
A marriage commitment.
A marriage commitment, great example. What's a small agreement look like then?
Someone signing up as an associate.
Okay, great. Somebody signing up as an associate. Somebody. So the lady who gave me the example of a marriage commitment, who was that that spoke?
Carol Renner.
Okay, Carol. So would you work with me for a minute?
Surely.
Okay. So, Carol, I want you to visualize it in your hands. You have two balloons. You have a big balloon and you have a small balloon. Can you see those in your hand?
Yes.
Okay, now I'm going to come in with a pin, and I'm going to break first the big balloon and now the small balloon. What do you have left, Carol, in your hands?
Two pieces of rubber or whatever it is, probably
right.
The same size, and they're both wilted down.
Yes, so you now have two broken balloons in your hands.
Mm-hmm.
Does it matter how big or small it was when it started?
Nope. Probably not.
Nope. Because
they're
the net
broken.
Result is a broken balloon is a broken balloon is a broken balloon.
Mm-hmm.
So when we think of agreement as we give our word to something, does it really matter how big or small it is when it started? Because both of them have been tied with the same thing, and that is our word. So whether our word is to sign up an associate and work with them, or whether our word is about a marriage vow, our word is our word is our word. It doesn't change. You can't buy it. You can't sell it. Winston Churchill once said, the only thing a man is born and dies with is the power of his word. So no one can take it from you, and you can't, and they can't take it from you, and they can't give it to you. The power of your word is defined 100% by your actions. So I want to go full circle on this to understand that when you break your word, you put at risk everything that you said is of value to you. And we started this by saying many of you have hopes and dreams in your life, and specifically on this call as we're chatting about manifest, about your financial gains, about your ability to help other people, primarily children. It could be other family members. It's about leaving a legacy. It's about starting to live a life that for many of you, you may not have been able to enjoy another way. And so all of those things are agreements that you have made with yourself and with other people. Why we often don't reach those agreements or those results is because we haven't kept our agreements. We start to play the game, well, oh, I've promised to do something over here, so I can't do that. And when we do that, we now have one kept agreement and one broken agreement. But we just defined that, A, there's no such thing as big and small. You end up with the same result. And, B, when you do that, you end up putting everything that you say that's important to you at risk. So if you want to be more powerful in your life, what's really important is to understand the power of your word and your agreements. And now go back all the way. We're going to circle this back to the agreements you made for your goals and your plan. Are those goals in your mind a want, a wish, and a prayer? Or are they something you are committed to where you're willing to pay the price? And how you do that is give your word to someone else in order to do that. And then keep it. So I'm going to stop there. There's still a little bit more that I want to do, but let me just stop for a moment and see if there's any questions, comments. I want to make sure all the dots are getting connected.
Could you please repeat what Winston Churchill said about the power of our word?
Oh, yeah. You are a man born and dies with one thing and one thing only, and that's the power of your word.
Call her and see what she needs.
And then right after that, you said something.
Oh, then I just said, you see, you can't buy it, you can't sell it. Someone can't take it from you and they can't give it to you. This is totally 100% your word, the power of your word is 100% by the actions you take. Anyone else? Any other questions, comments, insights?
This is powerful.
It's hugely powerful. Because here's the catch to it. When we break an agreement, the question is, what became more important than all of those things that we put down? And all of those things really hinge on what word, one word. What is the one word on that that is one of the most powerful? All the list of all the things we said are important. What's the one word that really jumps out? It's like, on this rock I stand. What is that one word?
Integrity.
Integrity.
Integrity, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So here's the thing. You ask yourself, when I break an agreement, what becomes more important to me than my integrity? So when I say I'm going to call somebody back and I don't, what became more important to me than my integrity? Some of you will go, I'm tired at night. I was just exhausted. I got it. But your need to be comfortable became more important than your integrity. People go, I don't like that. I get it. Unfortunately, that's the truth, though, for many of us. And so you go, where else in your life is your need to be comfortable more important than doing what you said you were going to do? So those of you on flight team know that one of the games that we've played is to pick two people that would be great for us to speak to, but we've been too afraid to do that, and so we haven't. And then we challenge them to go out and speak to people. And you know, you would be stunned at the result, or maybe you wouldn't be stunned. People coming back going, oh, my gosh, I can't believe it. You know, I wanted to talk to my bank manager for years, and I never had the courage to do it. And I finally did, and she was not only was she interested, she got really excited, she came on as an all-star, and then she went and signed up a friend right away. So when she made the commitment and gave her word to do it, she now had no out because she didn't want her need to be comfortable to show up and put her out of integrity. So she followed through on what she said she was going to do. And in doing so, created some fabulous results. It was so exciting. So we said, great, here's an idea. We'll pick two more people next week. You know, who else are you afraid of that you should be talking to? That should become your hit list. Because you've already tried the easy ones, and the easy ones have got you so far. Go after the hard ones, because they probably have the greatest circle of influence, too. So it's very powerful. You know, for some of you, you'll go, well, it's not a need to be comfortable. I don't mind pushing through that. Okay, so what is it for you? Some of you still have a job and do Manitech part-time. So it may be that you promised to do a meeting one night, but your boss at work asked you to do something else, and you chose to do that, even though you could have maybe pushed it off. But maybe for you, it's a need to look good. Maybe it's a need for validation. Maybe it's a need to be right. I don't know what your needs are. I don't know what else is driving you. That's for you to figure out for yourself. And the easiest and most effective way to do that is when you break an agreement or about to, ask yourself, what has become more important to me than my intent? What's more important to me than keeping my word? Whether it's picking up milk, whether it's a marriage vow, maybe it's, you know, about a money loan, maybe it's about making a call, maybe it's about three-waying and helping somebody who's not even in your business, maybe it's about attending a meeting to support somebody, whatever that might be. What becomes more important to you than keeping your word? So does that clean all of, does that connect all of that for you? Are there any questions in that? I think there's one more thought I want to leave you with.
It's very clear.
Okay. Lydia, you on the call?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Anything from your end that you want me to go over on that part?
No, I think that was excellent.
And we're motoring through because there's this one last thought I want you to do, a little exercise. On a post-it note, put a line down the middle. On the left-hand side, write the word reasons, And on the right-hand side, write the word results. And put that where you always do business. In life, especially in business, you have two outcomes. One outcome will be not the one you wanted. And that's because you bought into all the reasons, all the excuses, all the things, distractions, all the lack of focus, all the things that life threw at you that pulled you away from doing what you said was really important to you. The other side of the line is called results. That's the outcome you want to be living in. For many of us, however, it's tough to get there because in order to get to results, we have to set aside all of the excuses, all of the distractions, all of the things that give us permission to not get what we want. You get the results when you're willing to pay the price. That's commitment. So if you want to up your results, this is the way to do it. Make an agreement with someone else and keep it. Sounds simple? Absolutely. But executing it is a lot harder than you realize. If you want extraordinary results, make extraordinary agreements and keep them. So, with that in mind, here's a couple little tips. Number one, be very clear in your communication with people so that people know when you have made an agreement and when it was just a conversation. So, don't make agreements or conversations that could lead people to think you've committed if you're not. So, somebody said, I'm having a meeting on Thursday night. It would be really great if you could be there. And then your mind, you're going, I'm not good. I can't do Thursday, but they keep bothering me. And go, I don't know. You know, let me see if I can. I'll try. What is it that the other person probably heard you say? What do you think?
I'll be there.
I'll be there. And then you don't show up on Thursday. And then what happens?
They're upset.
They're upset. They talk to you, they're disappointed, they're hurt, they're whatever story they made up. You feel awful about it. You never really intended to. You knew right out of the get-go you weren't going. And so you created it because you weren't clear about it. If you're not going to make a commitment or an agreement, say so. I wish you all the best. I will not be there Thursday night. Why most people don't do that is because they just don't want to deal with it. They think it's easier to just be to avoid it than to tell the truth. But then you're not setting yourself or anybody else up to win. And people may not like it, but they will respect it. So number one is make sure people understand what commitment, what you've agreed to. And it should be like this. I'll tell you what. You can count on me for X. You can count on me to attend one meeting a month. I'm not sure it will be this Thursday, but I will be there for one meeting a month. I give you my word on that. And then you follow through on one meeting a month. I'd really like it to be this Thursday. I hear your request. I can't commit to that. If I can, I will. But I'm letting you know now I'm going to keep to my one month of meeting commitment. Which, by the way, if that's all you're doing is probably why you're not hitting your goals. But, you know, it should be 3 or 4 a week. But anyway. So the reality is be very clear in your commitment around your agreements so that people understand what they are. Number two, when you are in relationship with other people, ask them to do the same thing. So you would go, just so I hear you correctly, you are committing to be there on Thursday night. Is that correct? You're giving me your word you'll be there.
Hey, Roy.
Now, what do you think happens to other people? Oh, my goodness. We have a telephone ringing. What do you think other people will do when you start to use that verbiage with them? Do you think it'll up their game or down their game?
they'll start to pay better attention. So it'll up
no
their...
No kidding. And they, right. And they might start showing up because you just said, so let me be clear. So you're giving me your word you're going to be there Thursday. Okay. Great, because I'm counting on it now. We've got this agreement. Or, oh no, I didn't say that. Oh, I'm sorry, I misunderstood. So what did you exactly say? And when you start to use that verbiage with people, two things happen. One is you don't waste time and other people don't waste time on you on stuff that is not committed to. And B, you will start attracting more people who do business the same way because people love being with people of integrity. And people who are out of integrity don't like being with people of integrity. It makes them very nervous. So you will start to actually kind of wean out of your group people who are not prepared to play at that level. Here's the beauty of it. When you start giving your word and keeping it over and over and over again, the time that you're not able to keep your word, people cut you a lot of slack. Because let's face it, are there times you're not going to be able to keep your word? The answer is yes. It's called there are things in life. So, for example, I just flew in the other day. I don't know where I was flying, and there was a snowstorm. And do I have control over what happens with the plane when it takes off and when it lands and all of that stuff? No. So I was out of agreement as to where I was going to meet people and when. But the reality was, because I don't do that often, people are willing to cut me a lot of slack. Because they know if it is something that I have that kind of control over, I will move heaven and earth to make it happen. And if I can't, and you're not going to make an agreement, what's the one thing you do? What do you think?
Let them know.
Yeah, it's called renegotiate. So before I left, I made a phone call to go, hey, it looks like I'm going to be on time, but I don't know. So before you leave to pick me up, here's my flight number. Check it out. There is a chance the storm's coming in. I might be caught in it. So I want to renegotiate up front on that meeting tonight because I don't know whether or not it's going to happen. People go, oh, yeah, sure. I mean, they don't like it, but are they willing to do it and take the hit for it? You bet. If you break your word every time, though, and you always have excuses, oh, yeah, well, I'm sorry, I tried, but, you know, I got into this, I got into that, whatever it may be, and all of a sudden, this becomes a pattern for you, then people don't take your word for anything. And that's not what you want. You want to be the go-to person that when people need something, they go, I'm going to go talk to Sally, Bob, Carol, Mary Jo, Lydia, whoever it may be, because I know whatever they tell me they'll do, they're going to do. Integrity, you know, is when you what you say and what you do is in total alignment. You can't tell the difference. That's when you make those tough agreements, make extraordinary agreements, and keep them, and watch what happens to your business. Make your life about the results, not about the reasons. And believe me, in life, you're going to have lots and lots of reasons. And the bigger your goal, the bigger your reasons will show up as. They really will. But, you know, I have learned and I have been humbled by people that I have met that have achieved unbelievable results in their life, extraordinary lives. And it seems that the greater the challenge was, the greater the test became for them to overcome, the greater results they delivered because that's what they were committed to. And those are teachers in my life. So look around you at people that have overcome stuff that for you has been mind-boggling and they still showed up. Because that's when I kind of go, man, if they can do that, I can step up my game. You know, I'm still playing small. So that gives you the concept of agreement. And so I'm going to suggest you go back and look at the goals that you've made. And what are you really, really prepared to make a commitment to? Not what you'd like to have happen. What are you committed to? What are you willing to write to say, you know, this is what you can count on me. Put your money on this. This is what I give you my word I will deliver on. and notice what happens inside you. For some of you, you're going to be, oh, I can't do that, I'm scared. Then the reality is you're not really committed to it. You'll know when you're committed where you are willing to move mountains to make it happen. You're willing to pay the price to go after.
Okay. Well, they'll probably put it, if you return it with a certain time frame, they'll probably give you your money back, but.
You never want to get your money back. Oh, you get your money back. Okay. Questions, comments, Lydia? I think that pretty much wraps it up. I know I'm a little bit early, but unless they're being very courteous, I think we're pretty complete.
Yeah, I think it's
are there any last?
Does anybody have any last minute questions for Sona?
Well, she told me they were. Carol told me they were.
No, thank you very much, Sona.
Oh, it was my pleasure.
I mean, there's.
So I'm going to suggest, Lydia, if I may. You know how your teams are set up.
Mm-hmm.
How do you want those agreements to be done? Do you want them to share between accountability partners? Do you want those agreements to be shared with their upline? Do you want them to send them to you, for those of you that are on your team? I know there are people here that are not on your team. But, you know, for those people not on your team, I'm going to suggest you send a note to your active upline or to your accountability partner or business partner, whoever you work with, and take the bull by the horns and put it on paper and sign it and, you know, email it, scan it, fax it, hand it, do whatever it is, but give that to somebody else. And keep a copy for yourself in front of you every day as to what it is you've committed to, what you gave your word on. And remember to put the reasons or results beside it. So every time you're looking to weenie out on it, you may make a different choice. And then, Lydia, you can give instructions to how you'd like that to happen within your group.
Yeah, perfect. Well, I think it's great that for people in Mary Jo's team, just send them on to Mary Jo or myself, and I'll make sure she gets them. But for those of you who are on other teams, you send them on to your current upline, as Sona said. That's the best way to handle it. We're all here to support you 100%. So go out and make this a great week. Beginning of the business period, start now. Don't always wait to the end of the business period. And just let's, you know, set a goal, even make an agreement to, you know, host one or two skincare parties in the next 2 weeks. Just start some activities. And Sona, thank you again for filling in for Mary Jo.
My pleasure.
I appreciate it. You guys all have a great week, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody.
Sona.
Have a good one.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Sona.
Bye now.